Many people believe in the existence of an all-powerful God, one who created the universe and designed and engineered life on this planet. Atheists scoff at such a notion, believing that Charles Darwin drove a nail in God's coffin over 150 years ago. They utterly reject the very idea of God. According to this view, all life on this planet is a product of blind chance. There are others who try to find some kind of middle ground. Theistic evolutionists claim belief in God, but believe that God used the process of evolution to create life. Then there are deists who believe in an impersonal higher power, one who is not involved in our daily lives. And there are agnostics who simply throw up their hands and declare they cannot know. Which view is correct? Stay tuned. In 1993, Professor Philip Johnson invited a group of scientists and philosophers to the California coastal community of Pajara Dunes. Some were evolutionists, but had become disillusioned with a theory that simply could not explain the complexities of life and life's beginnings. These were not ignorant men. They were men of significant education along traditional lines. But what set them apart from others is that they were willing to look at the facts and let the facts speak for themselves. In the end, they formulated a new theory called intelligent design. Most of us have been taught that evolution is a proven theory, and only ignorant, prejudiced people disagree with it. But many people are unaware of breathtaking new information discovered in the last few decades, which has shaken the foundations of Darwinian evolution. When Charles Darwin and his colleagues looked at cells with the instruments available to them 150 years ago, they thought cells were little more than membranes holding together some kind of a protoplasmic substance similar to gelatin. Scientists now know cells are infinitely more complex than this, staggeringly complex. For example, every one of us has in his intestines something known as E. coli, also known as a flagellum bacteria because it has a hair-like flagellum protruding from it. What the average person may not realize is how amazing this lowly bacteria really is. E. coli's flagellum is no useless wild hair protruding out of its cellular wall. What it is one part of an outboard motor of such incredible design as to leave one aghast in amazement. Here's a cell so small that 4 billion can fit in a tablespoon of liquid. And each one has a set of outboard motors that work in concert with one another. Each motor has 40 separate parts made from 25 different proteins. And it is a finely tuned marvel of engineering that causes the flagellum, the propeller, to spin, moving the cell through its liquid environment. Consider this statement by Professor Kaichi Namba. It rotates at around 20,000 RPMs, and this highly efficient flagellar motor goes far beyond the capabilities of artificial motors. Further, it can stop in 1/4 of a turn and immediately reverse direction at the same speed. This may sound simple, but the ability to shift directions is something Namba has studied extensively in an attempt to unravel the mystery of how it is done. He has concluded that the speed with which it can change direction indicates, quote, that the flagellum molecule has a very fine mechanical switch function. Former evolutionist and biochemist Michael Behe makes this astute observation about flagella bacteria. When we see an outboard motor, we see the way the parts interact and so on. We know someone made that. And when Behe speaks of flagella bacteria having an outboard motor, he is not using figurative language. Scientists who study these marvels of design and engineering use mechanical terms, such as bushings, rotor, stator, universal joint, drive shaft, and propeller to describe its various parts. Notice this comment from the January 2000 edition of Physics Today. E. coli is a single-celled organism that lives in your gut. It is equipped with a set of rotary motors only 45 nanometers in diameter. Each motor drives a long, thin, helical filament that extends several cell body lengths out of its external medium. The assemblage of motor and filament is called a flagellum. The concerted motion of several flagella enables a cell to swim. A cell can move toward regions that it deems more favorable by measuring changes in the concentrations of certain chemicals in its environment, mostly nutrients, deciding whether life is getting better or worse, and then modulating the direction of rotation of its flagella. Thus, in addition to rotary engines and propellers, E. coli's standard accessories include particle counters, rate meters, and gearboxes. This microorganism is a nanotechnologist's dream. Physics Today can hardly be construed as a creationist publication. And one has to wonder how such an incredible machine managed to come into being by blind chance. Not only are there 40 parts to this motor, but each part is essential to the operation of the flagellum. Unlike an outboard motor that is made from metal and plastic, this motor is made from proteins, each of which is incredibly complex in itself. So amazing is this nanocreature that when Professor Namba first saw an electron micrograph of the bacterial flagellum and its motor as a graduate student, he was surprised to see such complex and sophisticated structure existing in living organisms. It impressed him deep enough to switch his research from muscle to flagella after a while. Looking at the shape of the flagellar basal body, it is obviously designed to rotate. What's that? Designed to rotate? How often we hear words such as designed and engineered in the many very well-produced nature books and films. Yet those same books and documentaries, which use words that point to intelligence, also refer to life evolving by blind chance. Incredible. Think about it. To understand the magnitude of the problem of this lowly one-celled critter happening to happen on its own, we must look at the problem of the building blocks from which it is made. Proteins are constructed by linking a series of amino acids together in a meaningful sequence. There are at least 20 commonly recognized amino acids which are used to form proteins. Once linked together properly, they are then taken into a barrel-like structure within the cell and folded into the shape of a specific protein. If the sequence is not correct, the protein cannot be formed. Note this comment by Bill Bryson in A Short History of Nearly Everything on page 288. Proteins are what you get when you string amino acids together. To make a protein, you need to assemble amino acids in a particular order, in much the same way that you assemble letters in a particular order to spell a word. The problem is that words in the amino acid alphabet are often exceedingly long. To spell collagen, the name of a common type of protein, you need to arrange 8 letters in the right order. But to make collagen, you need to arrange 1,055 amino acids in precisely the right sequence. But, and here's an obvious but crucial point, you don't make it. It makes itself spontaneously without direction. And this is where the unlikelihoods come in. The chances of a 1,055 sequence molecule like collagen spontaneously self-assembling are, frankly, nil. It just isn't going to happen. To grasp what a long shot its existence is, visualize a standard Las Vegas slot machine, but broaden greatly, to about 90 feet to be precise, to accommodate 1,055 spinning wheels instead of the usual three or four. And with 20 symbols on each wheel, one for each common amino acid. How long would you have to pull the handle before all 1,055 symbols came up in the right order? Effectively, forever. Even if you reduced the number of spinning wheels to 200, which is actually a more typical number of amino acids for a protein, the odds against all 200 coming up in a prescribed sequence are 1 in 10 to the power of 260. That is a 1 followed by 260 zeros. That in itself is a larger number than all the atoms in the universe. Remember, this is only one protein, and we need around 25 different protein miracles for the flagellum motor, all assembled and working in harmony. And while no one knows for sure, some estimate that there are as many as 1 million proteins in the human body. And in Bill Bryson's own words, the chance of any one of them happening is, quote, frankly, nil. It just isn't going to happen. And lest anyone misunderstand, the author of these words is no creationist. As a matter of fact, in subsequent pages, he attempts to explain what he himself says isn't going to happen. Perhaps two or three amino acids linked up for some simple purpose, and then after a time bumped into some other similar small cluster, and in so doing, discovered some additional improvement. Of course, this raises a critical point. Today, we do not see proteins self-assembling spontaneously without direction. And this is a major problem for evolutionists. Dean Kenyon and Gary Steinman believed that they could solve this question, and they published their explanation in their 1969 chemistry textbook titled Biochemical Predestination. In it, they promoted the idea that certain amino acids were naturally attracted to one another, and that proteins were thus inevitable. However, after a few years, Dean Kenyon began to doubt his own theory and now totally repudiates it. He realized that proteins simply cannot form naturally, but they need DNA to direct their formation. And he categorically stated, "We have not the slightest chance of a chemical evolutionary origin for even the simplest of cells." And Bill Bryson explains the dilemma this creates for evolutionists. Proteins can't exist without DNA, and DNA has no purpose without proteins. Are we to assume then that they arose simultaneously with the purpose of supporting each other? If so, wow. Yes, proteins are assembled according to instructions given by DNA. But where did this amazing instruction manual come from? How did it come into existence? And what purpose was there for DNA before living cells contained it? It is the same old chicken and egg question. Which came first? The creature containing the instruction manual, or the instruction manual without the creature? And what purpose is there for an instruction manual without the building blocks? And what about RNA, which DNA needs to assemble the blocks? Did it also just happen to come into harmonious existence at the precise moment needed? Who is it now that is pinning hopes on faith? But now back to our lowly E. coli. Remember that 4 billion of them can fit within a tablespoon of liquid, and the motor that propels it in the search for food is found in the thin cellular wall. Further, is made up of 25 different proteins, but 40 parts in all, each one of which is an incredible miracle in itself. All 40 proteins have to be the right size, the right shape, and that is not all. Each one, after constructed, must be moved to the exact location in the exact sequence. Think about assembling an outboard motor and how each part must be attached in its proper order. If any one part is missing, defective, the wrong shape or size, or put into place in the wrong sequence, we have a non-functioning cell. It won't work. No wonder former atheists such as Michael Behe and Dean Kenyon no longer subscribe to blind evolutionary forces and are leading proponents of intelligent design. No wonder the atheist philosophical champion of the past has become a traitor to the atheist cause. Note this amazing, widely reported admission given here from an ABC News report of December the 9th, 2004. A British philosophy professor who has been a leading champion of atheism for more than half a century has changed his mind. He now believes in God more or less based on scientific evidence and says so on a video released Thursday. At age 81, after decades of insisting belief is a mistake, Anthony Flew has concluded that some sort of intelligence or first cause must have created the universe. A superintelligence is the only good explanation for the origin of life and the complexity of nature, Flew said in a telephone interview from England. Again, quoting from the same ABC News report, Flew's name and stature are big. Whenever you hear people talk about atheists, Flew always comes up. Quoting on the same subject from the Seattle Times of December the 10th, 2004, yet biologists' investigation of DNA has shown, by the almost unbelievable complexity of the arrangements which are needed to produce life, that intelligence must have been involved, Flew says in the new video, Has Science Discovered God? The first hint of Flew's turn was a letter to the August-September issue of Britain's Philosophy Now magazine. It has become inordinately difficult even to begin to think about constructing a naturalistic theory of the evolution of that first reproducing organism, he wrote. My whole life has been guided by the principle of Plato's Socrates. Follow the evidence wherever it leads. We here at Tomorrow's World are well aware that there are counterarguments in support of evolution, as well as counterarguments to the counterarguments, and the debate goes on. In a 2009 American documentary, Expelled, No Intelligence Allowed, Ben Stein documents case after case of educators being run out of the classroom for suggesting there might actually be something other than blind chance at work. But if truth is the real pursuit of education, one must wonder why these elitists are so frightened by alternative explanations when their own explanation requires unsurpassed faith in a 150-year-old theory that becomes increasingly archaic the more we learn about the complexities of life. In the remainder of this program, we will explore why it is that some people have such a difficult time admitting Darwinian evolution is inadequate in explaining the beauty, the marvel, the interactive harmony, and the incredible complexity of life. Why is it that people cannot admit the obvious? It is evident that there is a connection between the rejection of God and the desire to be free from all moral restraints. The Bible predicted nearly 2,000 years ago that there would be those who suppress or cover up the truth, and it tells us why this is. Paul explained in Romans, the first chapter, verses 18 through 22, For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress or hold down the truth and unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Professing to be wise, they became fools. Yes, you don't have to be a microbiologist to see the hand of intelligence in what has been made. Look around you at the intricacies of detail and design in a butterfly, a bird, or a fish. How marvelous each creature is. Think about your own body and mind. Consider the eye, the ear, the heart, the liver, kidney, and how each has been specifically designed to carry out an important function. Think about how each organ works in harmony with the other organs. By the nature of the theory, there is no guidance in evolution. It is merely blind chance, no oversight whatsoever. On the surface, it can seem logical, but when one examines life, the interdependent nature of living creatures, the wonderful design and how it all had to come into being at just the right time, blind chance simply does not hold up against an intelligent architect as the explanation for life. The well-known and highly regarded English author and philosopher Aldous Huxley made an amazing admission as to why he and other influential philosophers of his day rejected God. For myself, as no doubt for most of my contemporaries, the philosophy of meaninglessness was essentially an instrument of liberation. The liberation we desired was simultaneously liberation from a certain political and economic system and liberation from a certain system of morality. We objected to the morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. There was one admirably simple method of confuting these people and at the same time justifying ourselves in our political and erotic revolt. We could deny that the world had any meaning whatsoever. So we see that the motive behind the rejection of God by this highly respected philosopher and his contemporaries, those who influenced millions, was not so noble. That rejection was not based on scientific fact, but rather on the desire to be free from restraints on behavior, specifically sexual behavior. It was not a search for truth, as many have assumed. Perhaps surprisingly, this motive was clearly spelled out in the pages of the Bible. Notice Romans, the first chapter, verses 22 and 27. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Yes, the reason behind constructing a creation without a creator is to cast off restraint, to live without a ruling moral authority. Man wishes to live by the dictates of his own heart rather than the dictates of the one who made him. Paul continues, "And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. On the other hand, values such as honesty, faithfulness, humility, mercy, cooperation, respect for parental and governmental authority exalt a people and a country. But try as we might, these virtues do not last apart from a deep and abiding love and respect for God. Those who respect God's authority over their lives will keep His commandments. A true respect for God translates into respect for all authority. When asked which is the greatest commandment in the law, Jesus replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Any society which observes these sensible commands will be blessed by the God of creation. Any society which rejects these commands will be under a curse and suffer tragically. And this is the ultimate proof of God. Well, true science teaches us about the absolute greatness of God by revealing the marvels, the wonders, the beauty, and the incredible complexity of life. Living by every word of God reveals to us His love and attention in our lives. To learn more about the God of creation and the commandments He gave us, we invite you to go to our website shown on the screen. There you will find informative booklets related to today's topic, which you can download or read online. Tune in next week, same time, same station, as we continue to explore the pages of Holy Scripture and discover the vital truths of tomorrow's world.
If you would like to discover more about how today's topic impacts your life, then take the time to examine the free literature offered on this program at tomorrowsworldhk.com. Find real answers to life's most puzzling and challenging questions at tomorrowsworldhk.com. At our website, you'll find valuable articles revealing God's principles for living an abundant and happy life, while providing rare insight into current and future events. So don't delay. Visit us now at tomorrowsworldhk.com.
The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.